So we invite your attention this evening as Mr. Jack Clover delivers the presentation, God's Plan in Song.
And don't be concerned, I'm not going to sing, at least not solo. It probably would have been appropriate for us to start the evening off by singing Few in Number, Little Flock, but we'll do the best we can with what we've got. We're in the peak of the holiday season, and we're competing with such things as a symphony splash and one thing and another, so I guess we shouldn't be too surprised that there aren't as many out here tonight as we usually have. But the accent is going to be on music tonight and song, and music and songs have been part of our heritage for thousands of years. The Song of Miriam is probably the first recorded in the scripture in Exodus 15, verse 21, and is said to be one of the oldest songs recorded. And it's in celebration of the tribe of the nation of Israel crossing over the sea, miraculously made dry to allow them to walk over on dry land, and then just as miraculously the sea closed over the pursuing Egyptians, drowning them and allowing Israel to get to safety. And I suppose we could say that really was something to sing about. Perhaps the most famous songs, though, are those included in the Book of Psalms, many of them written by King David. But it would seem that the most prolific songwriter of all was King Solomon, who, we're told, the Bible says, wrote 1,005 songs, as well as 3,000 proverbs. And when we consider that he had 600 wives, it's a bit of a miracle, I suppose, that he had the time to do all that, as well as reigning as he did. So even given these few examples, we are convinced, I'm sure, that music usually played on the harp or on cymbals or on tambourine was a most important part of the life of the ancients. And in the Christian world, it's safe to say that many thousands of hymns and songs and what have been called Negro spirituals have been written down or learned by rote over the years. Many of those, of course, are mournful, and some are upbeat and even fun. One, Noah Found Grace in the Eyes of the Lord, is a real toe-tapping tongue-twister that is fun and tells pretty accurately the story of Noah and the flood. I often watch, or more specifically listen to, a program called the Gaither Gospel Music Hour, and it features marvelous voices and splendid musicians who perform for an audience of enthusiasts, presumably Christian, who really seem to be caught up in the spirit of the music. They applaud and they give standing ovations on occasion. But sadly, much of what they sing about are not accurate depictions of what the Bible teaches. They tend to sing of the way they would like things to be rather than the way that God and Christ say they are. Now this evening, I'm hoping that we can go from Genesis to Revelation in song over a period of about 40 minutes, and you're invited to do most of the work because the hymns that we sing are what are going to explain God's plan to us. And we'll ask you to remain seated throughout the service until the closing hymn, which will be introduced by our presiding member. And our pianist, Elizabeth Bennett, will provide musical accompaniment all the way through. And certain hymns will be sung by a small group of our members, a quintet, I guess, of our members, just to give the congregation a slight respite. But Please remember the quintet. They're not the stars of the show. God's word is what we're here to consider tonight. And so we would ask that there be no applause, no matter how deserving you may think the quintet may be. Now, we enjoy singing some tunes more than others, but try to follow all the hymns in your hymn book, because it's the words that we're interested in, although we may enjoy singing the tunes themselves. And so we hope that what happens tonight will create a joyful noise unto the Lord, and we'll get started. Well, we've already got started, I guess, with hymn number 97, which talks about the creation. And we're talking about creation as it is since the time of Adam. We're not concerned with what went on before that. We know that the earth was in existence before that. We know that the stars and many other things and prehistoric things and so on. But we're concerned, and we should only be concerned, according to the Bible, with our dispensation, which started with Adam and Eve. And so we sung, "Let all the world rejoice. Great Creator reigns." And we sung about the creation of the earth. And then came the creation of humanity, and this is where the group makes their debut, by singing hymn number 117, "Praise, O Praise Our God and King." And so the whole creation, according to Scripture, was very good, but not perfect. Eve and Adam disobeyed. Eve first, because she was deceived, and then Adam, because he wanted to set his own rules and not be ruled by God. And we know that that started a downward spiral in the relationship between God and man, and by the time 1,500 years or so had passed, that original human pair had multiplied to an estimated 20 million. They had become so corrupt, according to Genesis, God regretted ever having created mankind, and so he took drastic measures. And we're told what those drastic measures were in hymn 390, which we will all sing. Who was saved when heaven's vast fountain did their flood of death begin? Hymn number 390. Well, as we're told there, only Noah survived, and that was because only Noah and his family had walked with God. Noah was to feature in a new beginning and was told to rebuild the population of the earth. But mankind's penchant for disobedience remained, and they again did their own thing. And again, God saw the potential of one man, whom he called out of a land full of idols, to be founding father of a chosen people. Abram, later renamed Abraham, was that man. He became father of the Hebrew nation, ancestors of the Jewish nation. And they were commissioned by God to teach the truth to the nations around them. And they failed in that commission, and in fact many deserted the true faith and embraced the gods and idols of the nations they were supposed to teach the truth. Nevertheless, they are still God's chosen people, and we are to pray for them, because only when they are at peace can God's plan be perfected. The group will sing about that. And hymn number 316, Great God of Abram.
Thank you.
faithful remnant of believers followed Abraham, including Isaac and Jacob, and then later Joseph, in whose life were many echoes of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then came Moses, miraculously saved from murder. Later, he led the Hebrews out of slavery in Egypt to the border of the Promised Land. Moses was a giant in Scripture, and some 1,500 years later, Israel's greatest king, David, is crowned. David is famous for many deeds, but his Psalms are among the most beloved parts of Scripture. In Psalm 132, he demonstrates the understanding that he had of the plan and purpose of God and the part that he was to play in it. Hymn 64 is based on that psalm. It's not one we often sing, but it's the words that we're truly interested in, and so we'll do our best with it tonight. Hymn number 64, "The Lord in truth to David swear, he will not turn therefrom. I will bring forth a king from thee and set him on thy throne." Hymn number 132, and I'm going to ask Elizabeth if she'll play through the whole verse, because I'm not sure how familiar we are with this particular hymn. About 1,000 years after that prophetic psalm was written, the promise was fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. And there was rejoicing both in heaven and earth at that time. And the congregation will sing hymn number 197, which we all know much better than the last one, "All glory, laud, and honor to thee, Redeemer King." Thank you. And 30 years after the birth of Christ, the course of history was changed completely and forever when, because he had served God sinlessly over that period of time and had sacrificed his life as required by God, he was raised from the dead and became our Savior and the Savior of all those who turn unto him through baptism into Christ and strive to follow his example. The group will now sing hymn number 249, Christ the Lord is Risen Again. Having been taken up into heaven, watched by some 500 witnesses, Jesus Christ now sits at the right hand of our Lord God Almighty and will remain there until he returns to the earth. He is our present, our high priest and mediator, and soon will be the King of all the earth. And hymn number 259 speaks of that time of celebration. Let saints with one accord extol Jehovah's name. And the entire congregation will sing this one. Hymn number 259.
Thank you.
And of course, as we all know, we are strong in the belief that Christ will return to the earth, and that is our most fervent prayer. The group will sing hymn number 264, emphasizing this prayer, "Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free." And, of course, when that prayer is answered, there will be great changes in the earth and mankind and all God's creatures. And some of those changes are sung about in hymn number 289, which the whole congregation will sing, "A rose shall bloom in a lonely place, a wild shall echo with sounds of joy." Hymn 289.
Thank you.
And I'm sure we all long for that time when sorrow and sighing will flee away. There seems to be far too much of it in our world as it is, and our main hope is for Christ's return and for the whole world and ourselves to be changed. It remains now for me simply to thank Elizabeth, Peggy, Marie, Shirley, Joanne, and Jerome for their contribution tonight, and of course to all of you who so willingly participated. Thank you very much. I hope that this trip through God's plan in song has helped us realize and anticipate the glorious things that are to come. We'll hand the meeting over to Gordon.